This is Football in Europe, La Liga latest.
So the first El Clasico of the season was won by Barcelona. Two goals for Luis Suarez, one for Neymar, and that stunning strike from Andres Iniesta as well. Let's go to Barcelona-based journalist Sam Marsden, who writes for the newspaper Diario. Sam, thank you very much for coming on the programme. Just wanted to start with a question about Barcelona, really. I was just blown away by their performance. How good were they at the Bernabeu?
I spoke to a few people before the game in the office and stuff and who I work with, and they were kind of maybe leaning towards like a draw or something. So no, I definitely didn't expect such a dominating performance, especially with the whole Messi thing. Despite the fact, obviously, Neymar and Luis Suarez had been great in Messi's absence.
It's been interesting because in England anyway, a lot's been made of how bad Real Madrid were and how much pressure there now is on Rafa Benitez instead of Barcelona's brilliance. So how much pressure is there on Rafa?
The concern is that he kind of did heed people wanted. He's stuck with sort of Casemiro in this system, all system, where he's been a little bit more defensive this season. Whatever people say, he's a slightly more defensive manager. Obviously, Madrid, they've got great players. It's not defensive system. It's just slightly more defensive than maybe what Madrid have been used to. And then he's thrown that out the window for the Clasico, sort of to popular demand to play a midfield of James, Modric and Cruz, which is arguably costing the game when you see the complete space they've lost in midfield. I feel a bit sorry for him in a way as well, because he's been up against it from the start and all of a sudden his job's on the line. I don't think he's going to be sacked right now, but it's impossible really. Like if you ask me today if you can see him last into the end of the season, I'd say it's impossible. So what he does between now and the next few weeks is really, I really don't know. I would struggle to give him advice at the moment.
Sam, we're just speaking to you just hours before Florentino Perez speaks at a press conference. I think, what's the expectation that it's going to be the backing, the dreaded vote of confidence?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's what Perez has done it in the past with Ancelotti last season and did keep him on till the end of the season in the end, but it was kind of the beginning of the end of Ancelotti. It was with Mourinho as well. It was more of a mutual separation, but if it wasn't, I think Mourinho would have gone the same way as Ancelotti. And the fans, they didn't actually turn on Benitez during the game that I know of. There were jeers for Cristiano Ronaldo and there were chants for Florentino Perez to resign.
Sam, Luis Enrique said that performance will go down in history. And one notable thing as well was surely the fact that Andres Iniesta was applauded off the pitch. I mean, what's been the reaction to that happening in Spain?
I don't quite know how it translates properly, but basically Luis Enrique sort of referred him to like a world heritage site. He's like, you know, he's a footballer for everyone to enjoy. And I think Iniesta is kind of one of those players that can transcend a rivalry, maybe, as seen with the support of the Madrid fans when he went off. But he's a popular figure in Spain anyway, obviously, because of the winning World Cup goal. So it's not uncommon for him to receive a standing ovation wherever he goes from the away fans.
The win, we have to look at the league table after, you know, El Clasico is this sort of bubble, isn't it? But 6 points now, Barcelona ahead of Real Madrid. Presumably it's their title to lose. That must be, I guess, what the papers and what you're saying in Spain.
Yeah, I mean, 6 points in a league where, I mean, Barca have lost twice this season, but it feels like both Barca and Madrid have struggled a bit at the beginning of the season with injuries and stuff. And it felt that maybe... But Barca's loss, they never really got going at the start of this season. And the loss to Celta Vigo was certainly a deserved loss. The one at Sevilla was a bit more of a surprise. They played a bit better there and probably deserved something from the game. There's a feeling now that Barcelona are coming a bit stronger. They've sort of put behind them the fact they had a bad pre-season and they're obviously not going to drop many points from here, you wouldn't imagine. They've got Messi coming back into the side now. They've got Arda Turan and Alex Vidal to come back in January. So 6 points potentially for Real Madrid to turn over is huge. And if you just, I know I'm jumping ahead a fair few months here, but if they then beat Real Madrid at the Camp Nou next year, that would be a 9-point lead, which is effectively a 10-point lead because of the head-to-head. So they could, in theory, like lose 3 or 4 games, presuming Madrid will drop points along the way. And as long as they beat Madrid at home, they could still win the league.
And Sam, just a quick one. With the white hankies, do fans just always bring those to a match in case they're going to be unhappy?
Some people do. I'm not sure how much the case of it was. There's definitely stadiums where they have them more, like Valencia, they're often quite popular. The thing was, the white hankies at the Bernabeu on Saturday, I don't think they were all hankies because they'd done a big mosaic before the game. So they were kind of like, they'd constructed their own bad image there. Because a lot of fans were waving like the white sort of sheets things that they've been given to hand up for the hold up for the you know, like the tifos they have before the game.
That is excellent. That is Real Madrid support. Look, imagine the fans thinking, this is hanky sized and weighted. This will do perfectly. Sam, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.